that, we'll go on to number 24, the AIS program update with Tanner. Tanner, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Morning.
Morning. Can you see my screen?
We can.
Okay. As mentioned, my name is Tanner Davis. I'm a quality coordinator for the state of South Dakota. And today I'm going to be giving an update on our AIS program and our efforts that we put forth this year in the 2021 field season. And then doing a little bit of comparison from last year, as well as giving an update on distribution of fever muscles here in the state, an update on our outreach and education portion of our program, and then looking forward to next year, what we have planned. So I'll get into it. First off, I wanted to highlight three objectives that we have with AIS program. First being slowing the spread of aquatic invasive species while helping people continue to use and enjoy water resources with AIS present. Second being maximizing contacts and making the best use of our limited resources available. And finally, focus our outreach education efforts on increasing adoption of best management practices. It's really important that our water users adopt our best management practices and help slow the spread. We have limited resources here in the state, so in order to help combat this, we really need to get everyone on board and have a collaborative effort on prevention. On this slide, you'll see a distribution of fever muscles here in South Dakota and a timestamp on that. We first found fever muscles in South Dakota in 2014 in Lewis and Clark Lake. And in the following year, they were able to move downstream on the Missouri River to Little Gavis Point Dam, as well as McCook Lake and Roxville Lake in South Dakota, Missouri River. Then a few years later, in 2018, Lake King Canyon was found to be infested. And then in 2019, two of our reservoirs upstream were found to have adult fever mussels, like shark and frankfish. And then the northeastern part of the state found their first infested waters in 2020, and those lakes include Lake Cochran, Lake Tempesta, Lake Pickerel, and then Downing Fork, the present Fork just south of that region. And this year, the only lake that we have found a positive hit for new waters would be at Lake Mitchell, which is just under an hour away from the Great River. And now I will be discussing some of our efforts throughout the state at different infection stations. And looking at what worked well and maybe what we can do wrong. So starting off with Region 4. The Northeastern they conducted roadside inspections of the Region 4, and they focused on 7 locations for those roadside inspections to maximize their contact with voters, to facilitate as much education as they could the time they had allowed for inspections. And if you look at these numbers, some really positive results. Region 4 was able to double their amount 2020 to 2021. They were able to do over 800 inspections, and we were able to see a decrease in our high-risk boats going from 2020 with 16.3% to 13.5% in 2021. And our plug-out compliance was 96% this year. As I go through these different regions, when I refer to compliance rates, I'll be referring to voters being compliant with our plug-out regulations. So, yeah, Region 4 makes it, which is great to see. And then, looking a little bit deeper into our stats, we had 113 of our 801 inspections for watercraft come from positive water in the last 30 days. And 81 of those were from empty water. Moving over to Region 3, that we also had a roadside inspection approach here to maximize contact, and we have 5 locations that we've The picture that you see here is of a muscle collar boat that we were able to intercept on the interstate near Mitchell, South Dakota. And we were able to coordinate with Wyoming actually on this. This was a pretty complex situation. It was a commercial hauler coming from Ohio and bringing this boat up to Vancouver, Canada. And as you can see, this vessel is very large and a little too complex for adequately getting this decon with our mobile decon. So we were able to collaborate with Wyoming and they were able to decon this boat just over the border after inspection and across state lines. So it was a great partnership and we would like that we were able to work with them on that. And then in Region 3, similar to Region 4, we were able to increase our inspection over here. We had over 150 inspections this year, and we changed our approach from last year looking at China intercept boats that were coming off of Lewis and Clark, Rear Mountain Spring, to 2021, focusing on our high A series throughout the southeastern part of the state. And the boats that we inspected, 91% of them were compliant, and from the county, 335 boats actually came from out of the water in the last 30 days, which is roughly 29% of the boats that we inspected. And just over 50% of those were from the state of the water. Now I want to highlight one of our new partnerships that we were able to collaborate on this year, and that is with Enemy Soil Preservation Association. Here and out, I will be referring to that in the next. We were able to work with ESPA this year on doing an inspection on empty swim. They were concerned about the future spread of super mussels from the lake down the road, and they wanted to do their part in their prevention. And they were able to fund three GFP interns this year to do inspection on empty swim. And they also had dozens of volunteers that were able to help out with the inspection process. They did this 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, and they were able to do over 1,700 inspections. And on those inspections, there were 9% of those that were in high risk. And then diving into those high risk boats, I wanted to break that down further and look at those high risk boats. 66% of those boats came from South Florida and Texas water, and then 16 came from out of the state. And 46% for those kind of boats that can be used down on the road. And then 12% of the information was over 2.6 for conservation water. Then moving over to the center part of the state, out in Pierce, South Dakota. This year they were able to do just under 800 inspections, focusing on high use areas, and they found 92% of those boats were. And then not surprising, the majority of these boats were coming from empty waters. There's a very high percentage of residents in the area that like to partake in fishing. So we're seeing a lot of local boats in our inspection fleet. But it was great to increase our outreach with our local anglers as well. Now moving out to the western part of the Alberta City, Region 1. We had three AIS intern hired this year to do inspections at Cherry Garden Park. We were able to conduct 417 inspections on Cherry this year, focusing on our high-use days, which would be the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And of those boats, 96% were compliant. And we actually had four hits from public water in the last 3 weeks, which is good to see. And three of those four hits were. Now I'm going to highlight our largest partnership that we had this year, and that's with Federal Reputation. They were very generous and funded us with over $3,000 worth of funding to conduct watercraft inspection and decontamination at five EOR managed reservoirs. And another couple partnerships that I'm going to highlight is with West Dakota Water District. They funded us with $10,000 for Pennington County. Wood efforts, which would be Petrol and Deerfield. And then U.S. Forest Service, they also played a very important role They allowed us to store some of our facilities in at each of their facilities during our waterfront inspection. For one last partnership that I would like to highlight would be with our state parks, our state park employees. They were awesome this year in helping out with quality control, answering any questions that our interns may have had. They were just really great to work with. So I'm going to dive now into each one of our reservoirs and give quick summary stats from each one of our reservoirs. Starting off with Angostura, our highest use reservoir in Western South Dakota. They were able to do over 4,600 inspections this year, and 39 boats came from positive waters, and 25 came from somewhere in Missouri River where two mussels are found. Moving over to Paxola in Bennington County, they were able to do just under 500 inspections out there, and 97% of the boats were compliant with our soil regulation. And 26 of those boats came from positive waters, 17 from in state. Jericho Reservoir, I'd like to thank the community for helping with this effort. They were able to lend their PSP concerns out for doing entrance inspections at Deerfield Reservoir this year. Deerfield is a little bit more remote, but you had to see these numbers. There's a little bit less use here, but they were able to conduct 700 inspections here, and only had one positive hit actually from Sharp. Then moving over to Duke County, Bill Fish Reservoir, this is our second highest use reservoir in Western South Dakota. They conducted over 2,300 inspections this year, and 97% of those boats were compliant. This is another reservoir that you see a lot of local boats coming in and out, and as the project unfolded this year, you saw a lot more positivity with our local boaters, and we're very happy to see us present at check station to help preserve.
Moving over to social media, it's a great platform to get information out there. So we sent out 8 specific posts relating to removing your weeds off your trailer, which is a very important practice to be cognizant of when you are leaving a water body. And then also lowering your lower unit to get any residual water out of your lower unit of your motor. We were able to make another gas station television clip, similar to Governor Noem's clip that we had in 2020. And this clip was put out on 42 gas stations across eastern and central South Dakota. And the message just discussed the importance. So we've had a lot of positivity with this approach. And I think this reaches a lot of our voters throughout the state. And I'm really glad that we were able to put together this this year. So once again, I want to thank Nick and Chris for that. We also had an incident experience through our Facebook and Instagram social media platforms this year. This would pop up on your mobile devices, and this was an 8-slide clip that people would be able to traverse through, discussing different things with AIS, prevention, how to clean your boat, different ways that AIS can spread, and how we can slow or stop the spread of AIS. And each one of these slides actually had a link for more information. So we found this to be very beneficial and helps with our education and outreach to the public. And then with our communication efforts, we're really focusing on 3 main audiences: our boating anglers, and then our recreational boaters, as well as our shore anglers. And with all of our boaters, our 3 main messages here would be that we need to be clean, drain, dry every time, no matter if you're coming off an infested water body or not. It's just our best practices, more easily obtainable if we're just doing this every time, so you don't forget when you're actually on a positive water body. And then inspections are easy, and if you see one, you just need to do your part and stop. It is a law here in South Dakota that if you do see a watercraft inspection station, you do need to stop if you are on the watercraft of any sort. And this year, we actually built a survey that we handed out
through a rack park at our inspection stations, and anglers or recreational boaters were able to go onto our sdleastwanted.sd.gov page and conduct or partake in a survey, and I'll be discussing that here in a moment. But our last message that we wanted with our boaters was how to decontaminate your boat, whether it be an angling boat, which may be a little bit more of a simple process, or some of our wreck boats that may have ballasting, which might be a little bit more complex. But we wanted to get that information out there to help prevent the spread. And then moving over to our shore anglers, our two main messages with them is to never move water when transporting your bait, and that if you are in the water for a significant amount of time, you should be cognizant of your equipment and making sure that that's dry before you're going into your next water body. So as previously mentioned, we sent out a survey this year, and on this slide you'll see the rack card that we built for this. And our three main, or our main questions that we put in the survey is just the knowledge on AIS that our recreators have, and then what's their reason for compliance? Is it to not get a ticket? Is it to preserve our South Dakota waters? We just wanted to get a better feel for that. And then also how their experience was with our WIT station. We want to see what our public viewpoint is on our inspection stations, and be able to see what's working and what's not working so we can build off that going forward. And then with the survey, the use that we have for that is to engage more users for an educational outreach opportunity, and then figure out our areas of weakness in our messaging and with our WIT efforts. You know, if we're continuing to see the same complaints that some people just don't know about, either positive waters or whatever it might be, we want to know what that is so we can focus on bettering that. Now I want to highlight our involvement with law enforcement. Without our law enforcement, our watercraft inspection and decontamination stations would not be successful. So I really want to thank our law enforcement staff for being team players in this and helping out with our WIT stations. And this map that you see here is the number of citations that we had throughout the state and warnings. So the red dots you see are the number of citations, and then the yellow dots are warnings. Overall, we gave out just over 400 citations and warnings here in the state. And just looking at other states around South Dakota, I think it's very important that we're not just giving out warnings, because our compliance rates won't go up if we're not starting to give citations for things like our put-out regulations. We need to have compliance be able to help prevent the spread moving forward. So once again, I just want to thank our law enforcement staff. You were great to work with this year, and I hope that we can continue this moving forward. Now I just have a couple more slides, just looking at forward progress with our AIS program. One of our biggest concerns that we've had with some of our public is just acknowledgement of our positive waters, and knowing what AIS is present throughout the state. So we were able to build two new signs that we will be implementing in 2022 that should grab the user's attention by having a bright orange sign with bold black lettering. And these two signs will alert the public on what AIS is present in these water bodies, and then also alerting them to pull out plugs. A lot of our other signs we've had in the past, just their lettering wasn't either big enough or they were just too much going on, where we figured that a more simple approach would be the best approach here. And then moving forward and looking at potentially some limitations that we have with AIS and our biggest culprit, zebra mussels. You know, zebra mussels and other AIS are expected to spread to new waters over time. If you look at the United States as a whole, it's evident that you know, stopping the spread may not be feasible, but slowing the spread down is. So we just need to come to terms with that they are going to move over time, but we just need to do our part in slowing that spread, and then being able to help our users use our bodies of water with AIS present. I think it's very important. it's not the end of the world if one of our body of waters do become infested. There is ways to still enjoy these waters, and we want to help educate people on how we can do that. And then finally, we're doing what we can with the resources available to work with the public to slow the spread. And I really want to focus on this point here. We really want to work our hardest to work with our public to help with slowing the spread and to really listen in on from our lake associations, from people of the public, on what their concerns are and trying to better that moving forward. So with that, I will take any questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Tanner. We certainly appreciate that. That's a lot of data to compile and put together, so we appreciate the work you put into that. Do you ever sometimes feel like the little Dutch boy with your finger in the dam?
Yeah, it's a lot of ground to cover, but the job needs to be done. And yeah, it's always an uphill battle, but I embrace it.
I'm often asked, whether there are dealers to beat this back or just containment. I mean, if you had to sum it up, what would your thoughts be as far as your mission? And maybe Jay could even weigh in on that going forward.
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, to say that we can realistically stop the spread, I don't think that is feasible. But slowing the spread is something that we can do our best in helping with, and our biggest thing we can do with that is our outreach and education. I believe it's inevitably up to our users to slow this spread moving forward, and that's why we really want to develop best management practices for people using our waters and to reach as many people as we can so they know what they should or should not be doing when using our water bodies to help prevent the spread. So I think moving forward, our outreach and education is a huge point that we need to be focusing on and to help with that.
I'll just piggyback back on that. This is Jake Davis, Fisheries Program Administrator. Tanner did an excellent job summarizing our program this year. It was much more robust than we've had in previous years. We had some excellent new partners. We'll be visiting with those partners here in the next month or so, getting feedback, what worked, what didn't work, what can we improve on. And again, we'll be in a good place, a better place next year moving forward. But as Tanner mentioned, it's a bit of a moving target. It changes, really almost monthly during the boating season. So it's something that we're constantly working on. But again, we're building good relationships with the groups that are out there, a lot of willing partners, and keep it moving forward next year.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any questions for Jake or Tanner on that? Thanks, fellas. Certainly appreciate it.